Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
You are a father of how many kids do you have?
I have two kids.
Two kids?
Yep. They're now in their 20s, so okay. Next week is my daughter's birthday, actually, so she'll be turning 21. I no longer have any children in their teens,
right.
And it seemed like with every time my children jumped to where my second daughter, so they're just 13 months apart. So Rebecca's 22, Gabriella is going to be turning 21, and every time they jumped out of the, single digits into my teens, there was just a part of me that ached, and then they went in from their teen years into their 20s, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I lost all of my teenagers,
mm-hmm.
And so, yes.
Well, in being an estate planner, you obviously had a plan throughout their life up to this point of who would be the guardian if something had happened to you or to both you and your wife, and we're continuing that discussion this week.
Yeah, and I made mention a couple weeks ago, so this is our third show in the guardianship discussion. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple podcasts back up on my website at legacyandfaith.com that kind of lead into this whole conversation. So be sure to go back and review those if this is one of your first times hearing the show or if you've missed the other ones. But actually, I did not have a guardianship paperwork in my life for a long period of time. Because remember, part of my story is I didn't go to law school until I was 38.
Okay.
And I really didn't have a conversation like what I am offering here with anybody until I actually got into law school and my eyes were opened up because this is what I began to study.
Right.
And so when I got out of law school is actually when my wife and I created our first estate plan. At the time, my girls were 11 and 12. And so all of a sudden, I started taking, very, very quick steps. I got life insurance around us. I got documents around us, just the whole nine yards. But I lived most of my children's young life without any of these documents, but yet knowing I should, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to start. And so hopefully this conversation will give individuals out there either with minor children or if you're a parent, a grandparent, watching your children raise minor children, maybe you can lead them over to the website and say, you should really listen to this. You got to get this stuff in order. So grandparents, be bold with your children. Make sure that you lead them in the discussion.
Well, perhaps grandparents are watching the kids for a week or two as the parents take off on a vacation this summer. Flying or doing something like that. Seems like a lot of times when people are getting ready for trips and vacation summertime, this kind of question kind of comes up. You know, what happens if something happens to us while we're on this vacation?
Yeah, it is very, very true. As a matter of fact,
you don't want to think that's kind of make room to think about that, but that, you know,
but
you got to be careful.
But we live in a fallen world, and so we have to be ready and be well intentioned with everything that we do. As a matter of fact, it is inevitable around this time of year that I start getting phone calls with that exact thing. We're leaving in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. How do you think that I can develop your entire estate plan in 2 weeks?
I need to update my will.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but my calendar is much more full than 2 weeks to start with. But number two, I cannot just simply hit a print button with your kids' names in a document. That is not what I do. And so, now, is there something better than nothing? Well, we're getting close to saying maybe not. I don't know. So there's things online, but goodness gracious, give some foresight, give some intentionality to this issue, because calling me a week or two before your vacation, and you can almost hear the indignation. What do you mean you can't help me within 2 weeks? I'm sorry, I can't. I can't do my job with integrity in less than a 2 week period of time. So I need you sooner than that, please. But yes, it is certainly a time when we start to think about this. So let's start talking about, how do we start leaving money behind in a manner that will ensure the financial safety of my children for a long period of time. So the past shows, we've talked about wills and trusts, going through a court process to make sure that the guardian is put in proper position and legal authority. And then last week, we talked about selecting the right people in different areas mm-hmm. of your estate plan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that we have the right people in place, let's give a little more thought and answer some questions about, well, what do we do with the plan itself now that we have the right people? So I want to start with Proverbs 13:11. And what it says is, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Mm. So I've always told you that I look at scripture in just a little different way because of my estate planning. And so when I see this scripture, wealth gained hastily, that it will dwindle, estate planning is the first thing that comes to my mind, is that we leave money in lump sums, and here is blank many dollars in your hands, and that is money received hastily. That is right. Overnight money.
Right.
It is very, very similar to a lottery winner. And the characteristics of an inheritor and a lottery winner are very, very eerily similar.
Mm.
Very eerily. So I read a statistic, it was last summer some point, that 80% of lottery winners go through bankruptcy.
Mm.
80%.
I've heard that. That's amazing.
And so why? Well, because if you haven't figured it out yet, God's word is actually true. He might know a thing or two about those that he has created, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so so here's Proverbs saying, well, when you gain that overnight, that it will dwindle out. Why? Because we don't have the financial training. We haven't been prepared. We haven't been ready to receive that and then manage and caretake it over a longer period of time. But he who gathers little by little will increase it. Why? Because you learn to grow with your money. You learn what is financial responsibility as we get it little by little. It reminds me of the scripture that says, you know, we learn God's word precept upon precept, line upon line. So we grow step by step in faith. And why is finance any different? And so we need to grow into financial maturity. And let me say this, age is not a determining factor of whether or not you are financially responsible. The older individuals get, the more I hear parents say, well, they're already 50, just give it to them. Well, why? They've shown no financial responsibility yet, but yet we're going to now just give it to them. Okay, that was a side note for free. Somebody out there needed it. I'll come back to children. My apology. I'll come back. And then Proverbs 13:22. This is a scripture that we're probably very familiar with. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So we need to have an intentional financial plan is what this is talking about. Proverbs 29:18. I'm just going to stay in Proverbs all day, I guess. Where there is no vision, the people perish. All right. So why go through some of these scriptures? Because we're talking about how do we develop a plan specifically when we have minors in our household. Look, if you don't have a financial vision of how you would want your money utilized for your children, it's very, very difficult for me to make it up for you. So step one is I highly encourage parents, pray, stop, and listen to the Holy Spirit. He is good, and he wants to guide you in all of your parenting needs. That's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit living within us. Instead of the Old Testament where he came upon, the gift of salvation is that he resides within us. And that small, still voice will guide us in every step of our life. And he wants to guide you step by step as a parent in making the proper decisions for your children on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and in a basis that says, if I'm not here, what is the vision that God has given me for my children so that I can protect them and set in motion a godly vision backed up with sufficient finances to fulfill that vision that that the Holy Spirit has given for me. So number one, and I mean this very honestly, I don't mean it in a, well, just pray about it. You know, sometimes as Christians, I feel, oh, just pray about that. No, this is too important to just flippantly say, just pray. I mean, seek God's heart on what is the vision He wants you to have for your children. It will guide your daily parenting, your weekly parenting, and it will guide an estate plan when you come in so that we have a bullseye to shoot for. Because I can only take what you give me, create the proper documentation, and let it be a guiding post to the bullseye. So first and foremost is that we need to have a vision for our children and where it goes. Now, in order to fulfill Proverbs 13, which is a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, we need to talk about sufficient wealth so that we have something to leave on. So this is the point in the conversation to where I say, you better have life insurance if you have small children. It is an absolute non-negotiable point in your financial life. I know that, trust me, I know very well, my wife and I struggled in our young 30s raising two kids. We struggled financially. I came out of working for UPS. We had a stable job, but boy, I'm a small guy. I'm thin. I don't have a lot of body mass to start keep throwing packages all over the place. And so that job broke my body down, and we had to make a different family choice. And we opened up small businesses, and it was a struggle financially to get those businesses off the ground. I know what it's like to live on a budget. I know what it's like to make financially difficult decisions. I'm telling you, please have life insurance. I just lost a friend, unfortunately, just a month or two ago, and he was in his mid-40s, and fortunately, he had life insurance. But his wife came in to the office, and we started talking about life insurance, and I'd share freely with people. I have several million dollars of life insurance on me. I believe I am living what I preach here, okay? It is not just a do this, it's wise, but I don't do it. And her comment was, I wish we were that radical with our life insurance choices. Hmm. Well, of course you do, because we just lost her husband. Hmm. There has never been somebody who has come to me after losing a spouse that had life insurance and said, I really wish that I didn't have this cash right now. This is such a bummer that we had life insurance.
Right.
It is always the opposite. It is always the opposite. You need to find a good life insurance professional to get the right amount for your needs and for your vision. So if you have your vision, now we know how to financially bolster that to ensure that the vision can be played out. So why did I start with vision? Because everything hinges upon your vision for your kids, and you can find it by spending time and listening to the heartbeat of God.
Okay, interesting discussion this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. People are intrigued, Paul. They know they need to start planning for the guardianship and different issues for their young children. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's podcast, educational seminars coming up, and a way to email us and communicate questions or concerns.
Legacyandfaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant here in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Tuesday, July 10th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for our upcoming seminar on July 10th at 6 p.m. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, discussing guardianship and issues with young children, how you want to provide for them if you should pass away unexpectedly, you or perhaps you and your spouse. And there's some real practical things that we can put in place, particularly as it regards how to use, you know, you're talking about life insurance before the break.
Right.
All of a sudden, a bunch of money becomes available, but we want to make sure that that isn't just frittered away by the guardian or by maybe the young person, maybe they're 18. We want to be able to put in place a plan on how to best make that money last.
Yeah, that's right. And that starts with proper estate planning in general. We've talked about many times that a will is a check writing instrument. And in this area of finances, when we have a minor that inherits money, whether it is from the estate, whether it's from a beneficiary on a life insurance policy, that they are entitled to receive that out of the court's oversight at the age of 18. And for many parents, and I would probably even say a high percentage of parents, that's a pretty scary proposition. I've shared stories of me being in court and 18-year-olds receiving inheritances. Other stories, I could go on for quite a long time with the things that I've seen in estate planning and how it's not done properly. That I had a client whose child received an inheritance from someone else, from another relative. Mm-hmm. And we have to go through the entire guardianship process to put the parent over the money, because the court is going to protect the minor when they have money. And so even though one of the parents was still alive, we didn't lose any of the parents. The inheritance came from somebody else. Mm-hmm. The parent still had to walk through the guardianship process with the courts. Mm. So having proper estate plan is critical. Now, I tend to be an advocate of utilizing a trust instrument more than a will instrument. It's not always the right choice for individuals, but for a high majority of individuals, I believe it is the proper instrument. And when we're talking about guardianships and conservatorships, who's going to manage the money, we need to have a trust. And so, as a reminder, a trust is a holding container. So we put money into the trust, and now we get to give instructions on how we'll call them the successor trustee, of how they utilize, manage, and spend the money on behalf of your minor children. And so we can give a lot of guidance to that successor trustee. We want to be able to communicate to them what our goals are for education. So if we have educational goals, such as it is a high value that our children go to a Christian school when they are growing up, before they go to college, so that there can be a safer environment, or whatever your value is for that education, that needs to be clearly communicated so that the successor trustee understands your intent, and that it's not just left up in their discretion of whether to pay it or not pay it, But now the document is clearly giving a road map of what your heartbeat was. So we go back to the where there's no vision, the people perish. Mm-hmm. If we haven't captured the vision, then we have no roadmap. So every decision that we make in developing an estate plan in consideration of a blessing and making sure that our minor children are taken care of first starts with what is the heartbeat of the parent. And then by the heartbeat of the parent, we can begin to build in the boundaries around and give instructions to the conservator or the successor trustee. As a matter of fact, would you believe that successor trustees really, really desire to know how the parent wanted the money spent?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be making arbitrary decisions.
Sure.
They want to have strong guidance and clear instructions. And so the longer we take, the more that we engage in the process of having that vision and laying out these discussion points with what's important for you, then the successor trustee can rightfully and properly utilize the money that you've left behind to care for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's things such as, well, what if there's an age disparity? So in my family, my oldest brother is 10 years older than my youngest brother. And so if something had happened to my parents, by the time my younger brother is even reaching 18, my oldest brother was already 28, right?
Right.
And a lot, those are very different worlds of where
yes.
they're at in life.
Absolutely.
And so we need to have a plan that properly caretakes and financially assists the 28-year-old as well as the 18-year-old. As a matter of fact, when do we split the estate is a pivotal question. Specifically when we have larger gaps. Now, my girls are 13 months apart. Well, I can just choose a date. Well, when they reach blank years old, go ahead and whatever is left over, create two different trusts for them and they each get their own portion. And now their individual guidelines would take over for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Versus in my family for if something happened to my parents, a 28 versus 18-year-old, that's a big gap. And that takes a little more consideration as far as how and when do we separate the family. So typically what we're talking about is if you were still here, how would you treat your family? Well, typically we would keep everything together as family money. Okay, so we don't typically start keeping track and a ledger of, well, I gave my oldest child this much money and I gave my younger child this much money. As a matter of fact, I actually don't know a parent who makes a ledger for each of their kids.
Right.
We know some of the bigger ticket items. Well, yeah, I paid for braces. Yes, I sent my oldest daughter through gymnastics forever and ever. And so there's a disparity maybe financially that one, but my younger daughter is making it up by being at Pepperdine now. So congratulations to me. So, but see, the whole point is that I know these things. I have no idea how much money I've spent on my girls. It's irrelevant. Why? Because it's family money. And we want to treat them as a group and as a unit up until a certain point to where we say, okay, due to our family, whether it's age gaps or whether it's like my girls, they're very close at hand. At some point, we want the ability to allow the handoff, the final handoff to say, okay, now they've reached a certain area. We've had the successor trustee. We've guided them with a vision and a purpose as long as we could. Now it's time to actually split everything up and hand off the final estate. Now, I don't want to hand off in my brain. I don't want to write the check. So if we've built a trust and utilized a trust up to this point, let's continue to use its benefits to continue to guide the older kids as well as the younger kids. Remember, age is not a determining factor of whether they are financially responsible or not.
Right.
And so therefore, we need to have strong boundaries. As a matter of fact, I would even propose to you, if we're using this document, your children's life have been turned upside down. And their financial skills may have even been tarnished and hurt.
Sure.
Versus having the emotional stability of of having your oversight and growing up in a more healthy home. And so then maybe we even need to think more aggressively about, I really want to make sure that they have this money for a longer period of time in the, in their life. Well, what does that mean to you? And so there is an opportunity, though, even though age is not the determining factor, it is a factor that we can begin to give the kids more and more control as they age over their portion of the estate. Mm-hmm. But writing a check, that's that sudden money that Proverbs 13 warns us against, that wealth gained hastily will dwindle. And so can we set up a plan that will last for much longer? The answer is absolutely. And we can fulfill the vision that God has given you to make sure that we use the finances properly and fulfill what that ultimate heart's desire is.
You can create a plan that can take care of these things. We don't want to have our kids inherit a bunch of money hastily because, like we said, it can lead to kind of a lottery mentality, and most people who win the lottery are broke within a couple of years.
Yep,
and
that's right.
We don't want to see that happen to our young kids if they should inherit a large sum of money because you've passed away. So we want to plan for every contingency. It's possible, and Paul Grant can help you with that estate plan. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Come on in, have a conversation. Go to legacyandfaith.com. Podcasts, educational opportunities, both by webinar or coming into the office and sitting around hanging out with us.
LegacyandFaith.com, the website. Always great information on the Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at LegacyandFaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.